Come on, podcast.
Let's get sickened.
I can't.
That's it. We're not going to do any more intros.
That's enough.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome to a special episode of Latinos Who Lunch.
Porque todos comemos.
Shout out to Jessica Wilde for making that up. So today we bring you DragCon Live. That's right. Babelito and I did a live episode at RuPaul's DragCon with the one, the only,
Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
Miss Cuckoo herself was in the house.
No te metas con mi cuckoo, cuckoo.
So, as a special guest today to introduce this very special live DragCon episode, we have our dear friend, Lance L. Smith.
Hello. Yes. Hi, hi, hi. How are you? Thanks for having me again.
Now, you were there the whole weekend with us.
Yeah.
You went to DragCon for your first time, right?
Yeah, it was a true time. Yeah.
Tell me about it. What did you think about it?
You know, it was overload, but it was so nice to be there with you all because I felt, you know, really comfortable with you all. But it was just nice getting to see just queer culture in action, the drag queens, the colors, those little gay babies.
Right, that's
so
what I said.
Encouraging to be like, God damn, the future, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, like, again, Jasmine Masters, I love you so much.
Oh my God, Jush herself.
Jush, cointada.
These two went crazy. Yeah. She gives the best hugs.
She does.
Justin was so nervous, his fucking glasses were foggy, bitch. It was
amazing.
So foggy.
You were in the presence of God.
I really was.
You were truly in the presence
of
God.
I was like, look at God. Oh my God. Miss Jasmine Masters.
Put it in context. Why is Jasmine Masters famous now on the internet?
It's because she doesn't have to try to be one of those memeable queens, you know?
She just is
such a personality on her own.
Uh-huh.
And ever since she got kicked off the RuPaul's Drag Race, I'm like, justice for Jasmine.
True tea.
Because, like, I wanted to see more of her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was like Monique Hart, season 10.
Yes.
Like, she was the narrator of the show. Mm-hmm. She was funny. She had all these, like, anytime she was on the screen, she made me happy with the bullshit that she was saying. Even if she was dead wrong.
Yeah.
I love America. You know, like, she was so good. And Jasmine, like, no tea, no shade, no pink lemonade.
Yeah.
Like, come on. That was amazing.
You know, I think the thing that's interesting for girls like Jasmine or even Stacey Lane Matthews, how they're getting their just due. You know, it takes a while, but, like, you just let them go and watch them, and they're just magic.
And it goes to show you that you don't have to win that contest.
No.
I mean, it takes one episode with Miss Vanjie, for example, she has a career now. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why everybody wants to get on that show, because they want to try to be that person that regardless if they win or not, they're going to make it.
It's true.
Jasmine Masters' Instagram, it's fucking gold.
She's just so real. And then when she gets on live.
Oh my God.
And she's just like smoking a blunt.
Oh my God. She's like one of my uncles. Like, it's interesting, like, to see
She is.
Well, because it's interesting.
Isn't she in her 40s?
Yeah. It's interesting to see like a black queer male in that kind of guise of just like a normal kind of everyday black man.
Yeah.
But still being very queer and being very aware. And I don't know, it's just really interesting the way she switches between just kind of being funny and goofy and also just being so goddamn relatable.
Yeah.
It's just like, fuck, I just wanna hang out
with was
you.
Just impressed at how real she was, like how she really tried to make
you in your eyes.
A connection with me, and it made me uncomfortable because, you know, some of these queens, I'm just going to go on the record and say, like any of them listen to this bullshit. But it's like Trixie and like Bob the Drag Queen, Thorgy Thor, like they don't like to be touched.
No.
Like they don't like to be hugged.
No.
And Michelle Visage has talked about it before. It's like, without your fans, you really don't have this platform.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like you are, you know, and I just listened to Bob the Drag Queen's interview on Hey Queen.
Yeah, I did too.
And he was like, yeah, without fans, you are something. Because a lot of people say, you're nothing without your fans, right? Yeah. But
you get on that platform to get fans.
Yeah.
Even when you think of Jasmine, like her booth was very minimal. But
she talked about it,
she
right?
She talked about it very much like the rest of you girls screwed off your coin with all this elaborate setup, but I'm just here and people want to come see you. They don't want to see some setup. they want to get to see you. You
that's
know?
Right. That's
oh
right.
Oh my gosh.
So that was one out of many queens we saw that weekend. But let's talk a little bit about Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
What a goddess.
Wait, trooper.
Before we get to Cynthia, Lance and I, because you were busy in La La Land.
Yes.
But Lance and I went to Bushwick together. And my favorite part was the last night. Okay, because look, Lance and I have been friends for what, over 10 years now?
Yeah, girl.
We've been to trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm.
Truly. Yeah,
biblical. Wigs snatched and everything.
Yeah. Literally. Cross-dressing.
we got to tell that story another day.
One day.
Okay, so we went to Bushwick the first night, and the first night it was nice. Like, you let me get a little messy.
Yeah, girl.
And then I'm like, you know what? The last night, you deserve.
Yeah, I deserve.
I kept my shit together, and you were having fun.
Yeah.
And then as soon, I can tell, like, there's like a little switch when Lance, like, gets to that next level.
Yeah.
Morphin time. Yes. And
Morphin time.
Sorry. So, at that very moment is when, like, Sasha Velour, Aja, Thorgy Thor, Violet Chachki, they like all showed up like as boys to Bushwick to watch the last performances.
Oh. And so I see a white man with dreadlocks.
And automatically red alert.
Yeah, so I'm like, No, but it was Thorgy. And I was just like, oh, she's kind of cute. And I know she always comes off like a pill, real tea. Like, she always comes off really kind of thick. But I was like, oh, I'm going to try and say hi. So I was like, hi. I was like, can I have a hug? And she's like, yeah. And like, I turned over to the bar, like, to grab my drink. And I look, and she ran to the other side of the fucking bar. The DJ booth, like, up the stairs, bitch, to get away. I was just like, what a shady bitch. But again, you know, some of those girls don't like to be touched. But it was just like yucky. It was like, ugh, girl, just say no, I'm good. Funny. Don't like run away. Don't like say, yeah, cool. And then I turn around and you curb me and you run up to the DJ booth. Like,
I mean, that's pretty funny though.
It's really funny. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
So then my goal was to have somebody go hug Thorgy the whole night.
That's true.
And our friend Ramiro was lit that night too. And I was like, Ramiro,
look, you should go up there.
Yeah, I was like, Thorgy's at the DJ booth. She's giving people hugs.
And did he hug her?
I think so, yeah. Oh, and she was just like against the wall, like,
we're so evil. You have to respect people's agency, I guess.
I don't talk to them. I stay my distance.
That's fair. But I'm just like, well, you know, you're out of drag anyway, so you would think it would be like they could be more kind of chill in the situation. But again,
hey, everybody's different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My God. Well, and anyway, back to DragCon. Oh, really quick.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to the boys of Grizzly Kiki.
Yes.
I'm so sad we didn't see them in drag because they showed up on Friday to the con in full drag, but Robert and Daniel were both there at Jiggly Caliente's booth.
I love her so much.
I know. She's
I was trying to keep my shit together when she was laying on the bed.
Just laying there.
Yes.
But if you don't know Grizzly Kiki, get to know it because it's such a great podcast. They are connected to a lot of the queens. They just had they do the reviews of the episodes every episode, and they just had Meatball on reviewing the last episode. So
that's
cool. They're friends with a lot of the LA queens,
and they are in New York, right?
They're in New York.
Yeah,
hopefully,
yeah.
They move closer to us because I think they're thinking about moving to LA after listening to their last episode.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So, yeah, and it was cool because they were super nice. And if you don't know who Jiggly Caliente is, just Google Jiggly Caliente Toxic. And that's one of the best motherfucking lip syncs in RuPaul's history.
Yeah.
She's lip syncing and she's fucking sucking a lollipop.
Yeah.
That's how amazing she is.
That's a
baked potato couture.
And it's before she fixed her teeth.
True.
Oh, yeah.
So it's beautiful.
Oh, my God.
You both are like, yeah.
I think she's beautiful then
and before. Yeah. Agree.
But yeah, shout out to Grizzly Kiki. Subscribe on iTunes. Okay, so let's get to the moment when we met.
Let's get into it.
Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
I mean, just to set it up, we were supposed to have three queens in this panel. And we had prepared three questions because we figured everybody's going to take their time with three questions. Answering each one of them is going to be forever. But two of the queens didn't show up and it was just Cynthia Lee Fontaine. I'm not going to lie. I was a little nervous, but she was a fucking trooper. What do you think, Lance? Like, you were there.
You know, it was, again, one, I have to say amen to both of you and your interviewing styles because you guys did so good at making her feel comfortable. And the conversation was, like, in depth. and nuanced and fun and specific. It was like inspiring. So you guys did a great job.
Yeah, I felt like we were interviewing her and like maybe like 40 minutes in is when like she got comfortable and she was like really letting us know some shit.
Yeah.
That's why I wish we could have had time to pre-interview her, but it's just like everybody, all those queens are so busy the whole time they're at DragCon. But I wasn't worried because I know, I mean, I've listened to Cynthia speak before.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, she's great.
She's a professional.
She's a pro.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I was excited to be on that stage and like trying not to like faint, you know, the whole time. Sometimes I would try to say something and I'd just be like, and she would just like touch my arm, like, you got this. It's okay.
Yeah. You know, it was so interesting because speaking of like Latinx complex like personalities and not to fall into stereotypes, at some point I was like, okay, like I want to see more of Cynthia Lee Fontaine. And she went in and out of that personality according to the question, and it was beautiful. When it was a serious question, when we ask about Puerto Rico, like she got on it. And then when she was performing, she was performing, and it was beautiful.
And I think, you know, we are in a call out culture, you know, like where we did call out Cynthia Lee Fontaine in one of our very first episodes, like, why is she so, why is she like fulfilling?
Why is she performing Latinidad so hard?
And then, but then we don't know all the sides to
her. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So this experience to me was a huge learning experience to not judge people, literally, because Drag Race is what? You know, it's like, I don't know, maybe they get like 5 minutes each of screen time an episode. You know, that's not a fair representation of who they truly are, you know?
And we also need to remember that these are edited episodes. And depending, no tea, no shade, if all the editors are white, they're going to look for that dream that they think Latinos and Latinas
don't
represent.
Don't you think that was insane when Valentina brought out the Virgin Mary candle and they were playing like like mariachi, like goofy music in the background?
It was fucking gross.
Like, what?
La cucaracha? Like, what does that have to do with the fucking Virgin de Guadalupe? Like,
it has nothing.
No, absolutely nothing.
No. I am a big fan of Cynthia Lee Fontaine, and I have been for a while because I did meet her in Austin like as a boy, and then after that I just like fell in love with her because she was so nice to me at this bar that we were at. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, it was so cool to meet her again.
You know, it was interesting because again, it's the humanness, you know, because we see drag queens and we think of these television shows. So we get this skewed perception of them. And again, it's just so interesting to be at a space like DragCon because you get to see all the edges and surfaces and all, you know what I mean?
Girl,
like,
that's my favorite part. Close, I'm just looking for that wig line every single time.
Yeah, and it's refreshing, you know what I mean? They get put up on this kind of pedestal.
You know how stupid I think that is? What? Like, of people being that nitpicky about wig lines?
Oh, we're not beautiful. Nitpicky. No, I know it's beautiful to see. I'm not, taking pictures.
That. No, like, I'm not saying, but there's some people that are like that. Yeah. They're like, clocked wig, like, what? Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, you come out with $5,000 to buy that fucking perfect wig. Get out of here.
They're all wearing wigs.
Yeah. They're
all men.
They're all
like, it's a man making movements.
Right? So, when we exit, our friend Lori, shout out Lori, she's like, drag during the day or the day drag, she started screaming.
Yeah,
it was really cool. But even that's what I like about Drag Race, because it humanizes it, it brings it down to earth, it makes it real, but at the same time, as we said, it gives you hope, because there's just a lot of the boots and a lot of the kids and families. It's just so cool.
It's so interesting because, you know, again, like, the drag con format is very indicative, like a comic con. So it's interesting to see the same kind of parents following behind a teenager in drag, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, like, it's just so encouraging, you know what I mean?
It's a cosplay,
about, for some of them, you know, the cis girls, you know what I mean? Like, it's still really interesting to see them translated in the kind of visual landscape of drag. Yeah.
And this should be a clue, man. Like, DragCon should be a clue to RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, the sort of representation of, like, kids, women. Like, there's drag. I saw a lot more drag kings this time than I did last year. And that's never reflected. Like it's like RuPaul's Drag Race found its formula and they don't want to stay away from it. It was fucking great.
Well, we're going to take a little break. And then when we come back, it'll be our interview with the one, the only, Cynthia Lee Fontaine. But before we go, Lance L. Smith. Hello. If you want to know more about Lance, he actually has done a few episodes with us, episode 4 and episode 18, You Can't Erase Us, where he talks about one of his art pieces that is still proudly displayed
out still standing
in the public, which it's so cool to have public art here in Las Vegas and that you're part of that.
And that piece has been a learning tool for my classes.
Oh,
and for
fantastic.
That, I thank you very much, because just like Favi, you always come to my classrooms and it's always so important to hear these conversations from you guys. And yes, listen to that episode, You Can Erase Us, just so you know what we're talking about, because it's a very, very, very valuable educational tool.
Okay, and where can people find you, Lance?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Lance Smith Art, and on the Facebooks, LanceLSmith.com is the website, and come see about me.
Yes, come through, website!
Jush, jush, jush.
All right, we're going to take a break. Babelito.
¿Qué pedo, güey?
Where did you get that sticker?
Which one?
The one on your computer, that one that's an elote. With mayonnaise, chile, and queso on it.
Mayonesa que se te sube a la cabeza. Girl.
Get the corn out of my face.
You haven't heard about blanktag.co?
Blanktag.co.
That is a website where
Let
you can
Google
buy.
It, okay.
Búscale, búscale, búscale.
What? Oh my God. Look at all these stickers.
It's amazing. There's like a whole section just on comida callejera. And you know
takoyaki, bitch?
Girl, that's just the beginning. You know how you're like, oh, here we go, another Concha sticker? Well, they got that.
Okay, all you basic bitches can get those.
But what? That's just the beginning. Wait, tienen una sticker de like carne asada, de pupusas, de chicharrones. You know how people say, oh my God, I get so hungry when I listen to your podcast?
Yes.
I look at this website, bitch, and I get so hungry.
Oh my God.
It's amazing. So all you have to do is just go to blank tag and blank con la K, or blank with a K.
Like
tag.
Blank, like
así,
blank.
Así es.
Como nada.
Blanktag.co.
Uh-huh.
And you can get these stickers as cheap as $3.50. They get sent right to your door.
Oh, you can get packages, I see.
You can get packages. Mm. Girl, if you feel like you need to be represented through your food or any other thing, just explore their website, buy that tamale sticker, and boom.
But wait, are we buying stickers from white people that are marketing to Mexicans?
No, girl.
What?
This is a Latinx-owned company.
Oh, okay. I approve.
Latinx-owned, and encima de eso, okay. They're local. They're from LA. So amazing stuff. So you're supporting Latinx small-owned business. ¿Qué más quieres?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty good. I'm about to order some right now.
And everybody pay attention to our Instagram, because we're going to have a contest and we're going to give away some stickers. So in the meantime, go to blanktag.co. That is blanktag.co, and get your sticker game on.
Save water. Buy stickers. Hi, I'm Bobby Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
cuckoo and more.
Yeah! Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
We are here live at RuPaul's Drag Con with the one and only Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
Thank you guys for having me. Hola. Bien. Are you having fun so far?
Oh my
Drag
God.
Con?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I heard you are the panel queen. This is like the fourth panel you've done today?
Yes. And I survive.
So what other panels have you participated on this weekend?
I got the panel of the Puerto Rican queens for Explain the Hurricane Maria. I got the Miss Congeniality panel.
Because you want.
Congeniality hashtag fan favorite panel.
Nice.
Yes.
And what other one?
Aquí estamos, Latinos Who
Lunch. And now Latinos Who Lunch.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So what's been your favorite part about this amazing weekend? Because I know the queens wait all year for this weekend.
Well, I'm so excited that DragCon LA 2018 have a bigger venue.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Finally. We don't crash like the lines for the meet and greet between queens, all the stuff, you know what I mean? So it's more nicely to walk around and get the opportunity to meet all the queens and the vendors too as well. And in my case, it's like, you know, nice, relaxed. But the main purpose of DragCon is to have the opportunity to interact with all the fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love that. It was beautiful. Even it is just, it's one more day, which I like it. Because you get, like, you know, to do your stuff, sell your merch.
Yes.
You know, touch everybody's cuckoo, hug, kisses, and more. And then get to interact with all the queens. So
that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So we thought that we were going to put together this episode to talk about Latinidad and being Latina in the drag queen world.
Hispanidad. I love that. But yes.
First, yes, we are Latinos who lunch. That's and we right. We like to talk about our favorite food.
And I always forget about that. So
sometimes we eat on the podcast. So what is your favorite food? ¿Qué comiste hoy?
Where's the food? I mean, hello. ¿La comida dónde está?
I saw you with Lanesha Sparks eating sandwiches, right?
No, I was not eating anything. I mean, when I'm in drag, I'm going to be very honest with you. I try to be a skinny bitch, like, you know, all day. So after DragCon, I need my chalupas or my burritos or mis tacos de tripa.
Yes. Crispy?
Oh, yes.
Always.
Y me gustan las de maíz. Oh, la masa de maíz.
Sí, sí, claro. No, de harina son raras. Sí, sí. So you are from Austin. What's in Austin to eat? Like, what do you do for basically, your Puerto Rican food?
Basically, it's very diverse. It's more Tex-Mex, you know, in Austin. It's kind of limited, the Puerto Rican food, like, resources. But two of my best friends, finally, they have, like, a food truck, and the name is Casita Boricua.
Shout out to Casita Boricua.
Puerto Rican food, baby.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So that's the place to go, the place to be in Austin, Texas, to eat Puerto Rican food.
Beautiful. So shout out to, say the name again.
Casita Boricua.
Muy bien, excellent. Mira,
free publicity. I'm going to talk about it. Like, hey, you know what? I need to charge something for that publicity. Hello, I mean, cheaper drag queen.
We gotta represent and always support each other.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's how the Hispanic community like fight every day here in America.
So with that in mind, we want to learn a little bit more about your origin story. How do you start it? How do you arrive, for example, to Austin? We want to know a little bit more about your drag career.
Well, I've been living in Texas for about like 10 years. Mm-hmm. When I very first moved to Texas, it was with my parents, and they live in a military city, Fort Hood, Killeen. I lived with them like maybe probably 2 years and a half. And then after a year I was living there, I had the opportunity to visit Austin, Texas for the very first time. Mm-hmm. And what got me in love of Austin, Texas was the food.
Yes.
I mean, I went to a Mexican restaurant, Los Comales. Oh, and let me tell you, I ate nopales. I mean, wow. And I was in love. I was like, oh my God, I love the food because I like to eat. I love to eat, to be very honest with you. So I was like, I need to visit this city. And then people are so friendly. The outdoors are amazing. I call Austin like the Walt Disney of outdoors. The lakes, the rivers. I mean, there's so much to do, like interacting with the nature. It's amazing. So after that, I decide to move. I get a job as a caseworker for HIV clients. Mm-hmm. And also I get my contract in my home bar for 9 years, Alkins Harry on 4th Street Congress. Oh,
yeah. Shout out.
So that's like when all my career started developing over there as a drag queen, as an entertainer too. So that's how I moved, and I stayed in Austin forever. I really don't want to move nowhere.
Because you have a degree in clinical psychology, right?
Yes. I have a bachelor's degree in clinical psychology, a master's degree in social worker, and a certified mental health technician.
So how does somebody go from that career to a drag queen star?
Well, I think like understand the community socially help you to understand the interaction between the LGBTQI community and yourself. You get involved. You get integrated to that beautiful connectivity. Mm-hmm. And I think like my work as a social worker helped me to understand more the community. Also, I used to do, and I still do, outreach worker. I do free HIV testing and STI testing in drag on the gay bars.
Yes.
People know that, oh, Cuckoo's coming with the needles. You know, so get ready, you know, to get your third, like, 1 minute results, you know, insti five generation HIV test. So it's beautiful. It's beautiful to integrate my own professional career with my career as an entertainer.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank
so
you, guys.
I spent all of September last year in Austin, Texas.
Ah.
I said, I really would love to run into Cynthia Lee Fontaine. Wouldn't that be crazy? And I, as I was saying that, you
That's crazy.
You appeared at this bar that's usually a straight bar, but they have a gay night, and you were in boy drag.
Oh, Lord,
you
yes.
You were as a boy.
Yes.
And my friend said, oh, my God, there is Cuckoo herself. And I said, no, I don't even want to look
I can't breathe.
There. I can't breathe. Don't do it. My friend Eric, he has the podcast, the rundown of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And he grabbed me and he took me over to you. And I said, hi, I'm a big fan. And the first thing he did was, you want to touch my Cuckoo?
I mean, I sell the brand everywhere.
And I touched it.
True. And I remember the touch.
He said, that's it?
Wait. No. What is touching the Cuckoo entail?
Okay, that question is for you.
I don't want to talk about it right now, but you have to turn it down.
Oh, really?
But that being said, that was very generous of you. And as a celebrity, as a drag queen, do you feel like you have to kind of put up boundaries, or have you found a way to kind of interact with people so it's not so draining? Because I know a lot of people, especially as they get more famous, they have to give a lot of their energy away when they're meeting the public. And, you know, how do you kind of balance that?
Well, for example, right now, we have a very young generation that is a huge fan of the show and RuPaul's Drag Race. Guys, young, I have messages from boys and girls, 8, 7, 9 years old, message me all the time, like how much they love me, how much they love RuPaul and the show. So yes, there should be, like, there's some boundaries. So I take advantage that I'm Hispanic, I'm Puerto Rican, and I do my parenting. You know, they are my children, and I'm a little bit, you know, strict. Even if I have to take the cyber, you know, the cyber internet Wi-Fi chancleta and slap them with, like, hey, mijo, you need to go to bed. It's too late. You know, you're a minor. This is not a time to talk, so go to bed. Or if not, I'm going to tell your parents to slap you with a chancleta. So, but you educate. You have to educate. In my case, I'm taking advantage of this platform to educate that future children that it's like with hunger of knowing, like, oh, I want to know more about drag. I want to know more about the LGBTQI plus community. And they have this necessity to have questions and, like, answer. And those are maybe probably, I don't want to say boundaries, because I'm always an open book. I always try to make everything possible to, for example, on social media, to answer all the questions and answer all the messages, you know? Because if you guys take the time to message us, we should have the responsibility to message you back. And without you guys, we are nothing. So thank you so very much for your love and support, guys. Thank you. And that's a responsibility. That's a responsibility for me.
So one of the things that we wanted to ask you was about Latinx representation, because that's a recurring theme in our podcast. And we always are mentioning the representation of Latina queens in RuPaul. Mm-hmm. So you've been one of the most famous ones. Do you think that the RuPaul's Drag Race represent us fairly? And what kind of weight do you feel coming into the show being a Latina yourself?
I think answering the first part of the question, we have a good representation of the Latino community, the Hispanic community on the show in the past 10 years. I might say that I'm honored that finally, for RuPaul Drag Race Season 9, we have an immigrant descendant representation with Valentina, and that made me so proud. Yeah. We have a lot of Puerto Rican representation, but having Valentina open all the doors of the opportunity for all the rest of the Hispanic community to have hope, to have faith, and almost like, oh, we can be successful at other social systems inside of our American community. So I'm very proud of that. Mm-hmm. And the second part of the questions, I don't remember.
What kind of, if there was some sort of stress knowing that you're coming into this big platform, you're going to have millions of eyes on you, and you're a Latina, do you feel like you had to perform your Latinidad? Is there something that, was there a tactic, for example, that you thought about?
Yeah. It's a big responsibility, mm-hmm. because the Hispanic community, it's very, very detailed. It's, I'm going to say this in Spanish, exigente. The Latino community expect all the time for us to look as even a certain way, okay? Now the Hispanic community inside of the drag community, it's open up for more extravaganza, more creativity. Because back in the days, if you don't look, you know, pescada.com, fishy or female, pescada. I mean, they're going to be like, uy, mira esa pinche sinvergüenza. She looked like a monster. Ew, bye, you know? But now it's open up for, you know, a new horizon of acceptance. And I love that. And I love that. Even with myself, some days I feel like, you know, Ana Bárbara. Some days I feel like Paquita La del Barrio. Yes. And I love it. I really love it. You know what I mean? So we can go around back and forward and show to the Hispanic community that drag doesn't have any comfort zone. It's mm-hmm. a world of opportunities that you can do whatever. And the most important part is that you should have fun.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I love that because in a way, sometimes we are asked to not only perform, but all to box ourselves into one idea of what Latinidad is supposed to be. Yeah. And you just express it beautifully, right? That we are everything. We're everything from Thalia to Paquita La del Barrio to Olga Tañón. I mean, everything.
I love that. And the thing is, like, you know, this is generational. We need to understand that our Hispanic community, not just only in USA, in all the entire continent, it's suffering from a stigma discrimination still today. And I do believe utilizing the art of female impersonation, we're open doors. And that's exactly what I'm trying to take advantage of my platform as a reality TV star, as an entertainer, just to show to the world that we can do whatever we want to. Mm-hmm. We can celebrate our Latinidad, like you said, and eat burritos and chalupas and pasteles. Yes, man, and be proud of who we are.
Yes, that's beautiful. I was thinking that we have all these different stars that you're mentioning. I wonder if there's a specific star that in the beginning highly influenced you, that you wanted to be like a Latina singer or actress or some sort of public figure that you look up to when you started doing drag.
Well, to be very honest with you, one is Puerto Rican and the other one is from Mexico. The Puerto Rico one is a diva. She's an amazing singer for so many years, Ednita Nazario.
Yes.
If you have the opportunity, just do your research. She's an amazing, beautiful contralto voice. Her passion on stage is everything. And the second one, of course, from Mexico, Lupita D'Alessio.
Girl.
Her energy on stage when she sings, Lo siento mi amor, hace tiempo, and I love that. Latinos are very passionate. Even like when we have a conversation, we use our hands, our body language. And people think that we are fighting. Like, oh my God, something happened. No. We're just only talking about food, you know? And it happens to me all the time, you know? So I love that energy that, like, for me, it's an aggressive way to express yourself as an artist. And Lupita D'Alessio, like that's the best description that you can have. An artist that give it all 100% on stage. And when she finished her performance, you want, like, I really want more, you know?
No, you want a cigarette after her performances.
You want a cigarette and you want a tequila shot, you know? So those are the biggest inspiration and maybe probably from the Hispanic community I got for my drags.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Well, now you are an inspiration to so many drag queens and young
kids. Oh, thank you.
And I noticed that, you know, the drag community in Puerto Rico and Mexico, Brazil, and all of Latin America is very different depending on region. But I also feel like now with the influence of people like you and Drag Race, it's kind of changing that. Have you seen that at all within all your world travels?
Like I said before, for example, I got the opportunity to travel to Peru. Mm-hmm. And the conception that I have, of course, stereotypes about Cynthia. Mm-hmm. It's all of the entertainers are pageant girls or they look like female, you know. Now, the diversity of styles of drag, it just break the walls everywhere, you know. And having the opportunity to see that diversity, you know, and all of them are phenomenal and fantastic. Extravaganza, Club Kid, pageant girls. It's so beautiful. You don't see that back in the days. Also, we need to, in certain way, you know, congratulate the internet.
Yeah.
Internet right now, it's a very powerful resource. Everybody that have the opportunity to have questions about drag or learn about makeup, hair, or designing, you can go to some resources and you can learn how to do drag. Yeah. You know what I mean? So now that we have those resources by hand, it's so beautiful to see that diversity inside of the Hispanic community too. And that made me very proud because we are not enclosed to some style. Now we have an open door to explore whatever drag you want to be.
And to continue a little bit with Justin's questions, and now that you travel all over the world, what are the different expectations? Because I know, for example, in Mexico, transvesti is a thing. Now drag queens becoming a thing. You go to Brazil and it's an entire different world. You go to the Caribbean, as you know, it's completely different. Do you have to adjust to when you go to the different countries, or it's just Cynthia Lee Fontaine at all times? And are there any challenges with those going to different countries, different Latin American countries?
When I'm going, especially with my Hispanic community countries, for example, Mexico or Peru, that I had the opportunity to visit Peru last year, which is a beautiful country. And Mexico, I've been like there like maybe probably 7 times performing as Cynthia Lee Fontaine. I always bring something like cultural elements. I love Jenny Rivera too. She's one of my favorite singers in... I love two of the songs, but one of the songs that I made popular myself doing as a cover is Basta Ya. And when I go to Mexico, after I perform my merengue from Olga Tañón, you see people crying. You see people like breaking relationships with tequila in the hands. But it's good to see that I can adaptate myself, you know, on those cultural element and, like elements, cultural competency. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's me, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, as an Hispanic Puerto Rican girl, just bringing joy and happiness with my performances.
Oh. Yes. You were on season 8, mm-hmm. and then you came back.
Again.
The ultimate cuckoo reveal in the first episode of the 9th season. That was amazing. And I see you're online a lot on social media. And I see that you have certain sisters, you know, drag queen, RuPaul's Drag Race sisters that you are always kind of commenting on. I saw you recently defending Willem because Willem had this big drama. I don't know if you followed up with this, Babelito. Mm-hmm. They stole his dress in Chile.
Yes.
And then... and I saw you commenting like... you know, because I stalk you.
I know. We talk a lot on Instagram. Yeah.
That in Spanish you wrote, like, come on, comunidad. Like, this, as the Latino community, we have such a large community. Mm-hmm. And it's like people in Chile are representing, like, our identity, right? So can you comment a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, the Hispanic community love RuPaul Drag Race. Yeah. The Hispanic community support a lot of the queens and support a lot of the entertainers from the show. And there's always a feeling of the Hispanic community like they feel separate from the rest of the other social system and fan base, like the UK or the American fan base community. Mm-hmm. And those types of maybe probably of actions made the other girls that they don't understand our Hispanic community just step aside and say, like, no, I don't want to get involved of this drama. You know what I mean? So me, as a Hispanic, I need to advocate. And I need to use my parenting character and say, don't do that.
Chancleta.
Chancleta right now. You know what I mean? Because if I don't say anything, we can get maybe probably criticized by the rest of the society, and I don't like that. Our Hispanic community is a hard worker. Mm-hmm. Our Hispanic community is the most lovely and caring and kind. And those type, like maybe probably like, and I don't generalize, you know, because our community is the most lovely and honest ever.
And diverse.
But we need to, you know, point out that type of, you know, situation in a very way that maybe probably everybody said, like, hey, you know what? If we want acceptance for the rest of the society, we need to behave, you know? And that's my main purpose. That's what happened, you know, in Costa Rica with the dress with Willem. You know what I mean? I was like, why have to be a Hispanic person? Dios mío, ¿por qué? You know? But that doesn't represent all general terms of the Hispanic community. And it can happen everywhere. I mean, we have Trixie in UK that one guy tried to put a dollar on her kuka and cuckoo. But she managed the situation pretty well. But it was a lot of people like, come on, UK people. I mean, we can do better than this. I mean, we need to respect our queens in order that we can, you know, still receive the love and support from them. So it's just only respect. I think that's my call right now, respect.
And that's and that's actually, it's going to lead me to a different point, because mm-hmm. I feel like you said it right. As a community, we're very diverse and we're very unique. We're community, we're responsible. However, in the last couple of years, the political rhetoric against our community, it's so heavy, right? Mm-hmm. Have you seen the Latino drag queens, in a way, change their game? Because now not only it's about... it's about performing, right? Now it's a political statement to be a Latina and performing yes. in some of these places.
Mm-hmm. One of my messages, I'm sorry I interrupt you.
No, go for
one of the biggest messages that I can tell you right now so far that I'm advocating, it's to encourage all the entire Hispanic community, for example, to vote.
Yes.
Okay? Unfortunately, we have a horrible Mr. Dorito president that is leading our rights not in a not so good way. I mean, talking with a lot of negativity about our Hispanic community or dropping paper towels in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, which that hurt me so much. And he did not represent our community at all. And I mean, because we need a person that really wants to work with us, you know? And we need a lot. We need more resources. We don't need a wall. I mean, que paredes ni de que ocho cuarto. No, we need a person that understands. We need a person that can get close one-on-one with our Hispanic community and do something different. And in my case, I do have the need and the responsibility to yes. tell everybody,
yes.
hey, yes, I'm Puerto Rican, but I support my Salvadorians. I support my Chiles. I support, well, my Chiles are my food too. Ooh, I'm hungry right now. Uy, con queso. My Chilean people, my Argentina that are living in this country, and they need a voice. And I just try to become that voice. And I was talking with that with Valentina this morning. Like, we need to do more aggressive promotion. Mm-hmm. Like, how to encourage the Hispanic community not to be afraid and just raise their voice and vote, you know?
And on the other side, how do you balance that? Because sometimes we're, one of the things, for example, in our podcast, sometimes we decide not to talk about that just so we can get a relief. Yeah. So how do you balance those two things? Because we supposed to bring joy, you guys supposed to bring joy, but at the yeah. same time, be responsible and be aware of those things.
Well, I think like maybe probably in my case, my character as an entertainer is a very... and I describe myself as a positive person, and I'm very proud of that. Mm-hmm. And I think we can maybe probably speak about those very delicate topics in a very positive way.
In a
we
fun
can
way.
Yes, in a fun way. And I think that in my case, that helped me to go around and say, like, hey, you know what? you can vote. And then after you vote, hello, you can get like tacos al pastor and you're going to be the most happiest person ever.
Right.
And that's the way that we can show to the world that the Hispanic community, it's always encouraging to be positive all the time.
That's beautiful.
So through Drag Race, you've met a lot of people on your seasons, but then you've also performed with so many others. Who are some of your favorite queens from RuPaul's Drag Race?
Fifi O'Hara.
Yes.
I said that everywhere that I go.
And can you talk a little bit about why? And
Fifi O'Hara, since day one, she knew that I was on season 8. She was a huge, mm-hmm. huge support to my career. Not just only on the personnel, you know, matter. It was as a professional. She teach me like the best management companies, agents that I should talk, you know, the way that I should interact on the business. But most of all, she was like, she's a huge fan of my character as a persona, as a Cynthia Lee Fontaine. And always she's there for me. I can text her right now. For example, I tried to text her on the other panel that she was absent. She let us like abandon, and she was like, "I'm sorry, Cynthia. I explain to you later, but I wish I can be there. I love the energy of DragCon, you know." So she kind of, like, she apologized, but that's the way that she is. Like, we don't get to see that lovely and kind personality on TV because she's very competitive. It happens with everybody here. When you go to a job interview, bitch, you want to be the one to be chosen for that job position. Or if you are like something so simple on the supermarket, on the line, on the cashier, and you see like a person that is like, you know, taking like forever, you want to cut the line and, hey, I want to, you know, I want to go home. I want to pay for my groceries, you know? So that's the way that maybe probably I can describe her competitive personality. But mm-hmm. she is the most nice person ever. And I'm proud to have her in my life.
Shout out. Can you talk a little bit about her work with Puerto Rico? Were you part of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when the hurricane happens, she was sending me a message 3 days after. And she said she were not asking me, like, when I send money. No, she was like, what I can do. What we can do. So I told her, "Ay, mama, you have a lot of connections. I think we should do like a fundraiser." And she was like, "I'm thinking about that." And maybe a week after, she got like 10 sponsors. And she got a venue that it was Minneapolis. And 2 weeks after, she got 28 of the girls saying yes.
That's amazing.
She get a sponsorship for all the girls who have a single bedroom it was in a beautiful hotel. It was amazing how she by herself she can organize a humongous event, and we collect $87,000 for Puerto Rico. So thank you, Fifi, wherever you are.
And I feel like it's an ongoing work, no, with Puerto Rico right now, because it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Like, do you guys continue to organize?
Well, it's a very slow process to rebuild the island. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be very honest. But mm-hmm. the amount of love and help and support for a lot of organizations here in America to Puerto Rico, it's amazing. It's beautiful to see that love, you know? And I was so happy to become part of that movement with Fifi O'Hara. You know what I mean? It's a slow, I mean, it's an island to get a lot of resources like water, electricity, or more, or even food. It was quite of a challenge, but we are getting there. I mean, the Puerto Rican community is a strong one, and it's a very, like, you know, solidarity one. So I'm proud so far right now that even if we experience like electricity problems or water problems or utility problems, we still stand.
Beautiful. So are there any Latina drag queens that we need to look out for right now, or the new talent that is coming up that we need to start paying attention to?
You want to know the tea for season 11? Well, there's, I wish, this is my dream, that we can get directly from Mexico an entertainer and represent us on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
And please support your local entertainers in Mexico, they are phenomenal. I went to Guadalajara and I performed with two of the girls and they are phenomenal. Amanda, Amalia, and I don't remember the name of the other girl, but they were phenomenal. And of course, they speak English and Spanish. I mean, they are great entertainers. Just only the barrier of, you know, legalization on the country is still a challenge that hurts my heart, because you go to Europe and French go to Portugal and Portugal go to Spain. They have that open up of opportunity to visit other countries, not the opportunity that we still have fighting here. So I wish maybe probably in the future we have a Mexican or a Hispanic representation. You know, right now in Chile, they have a RuPaul Drag Race version, like Versus Drag.
Oh, yes.
And it's an amazing show. And you can get to see how talented are the drag community in Chile, even in Argentina too as well. So let's still advocate from all those girls, you know, and hopefully we can get 100% all the girl, like from El Salvador, Costa Rica, you know, that's my dream. That's going to make, like, you know, myself go in tears, because the Hispanic community have a lot to offer, especially on the performing arts and on the entertainment business.
Yes, I mean, and you just go to Mexico City, you talk about Guadalajara, and then you go to Mexico City and its own like hemisphere of drag world. The same thing with Monterrey, and I know Tijuana, and there's other cities that have so much going on, but you're right, because of the visas, it becomes impossible. And they should be part of the drag community here, for example, in LA as well. So that's a really good point. Thank you.
We should live on the freedom of not just only of speech, on the freedom to live whatever we want. And that's the only way that we can share our culture with other communities. And I'm still advocating for that aggressively. I mean, I live in Texas for 10 years, you know what I mean? And we have a lot of beautiful immigrant community that have a lot to offer, but they still in fear to get caught by the police or the government, and you know. And we came here to help our family in our countries. And it should be not that fear. We should live in the happiness of, I'm in a country that opened the doors of the opportunity for me, and I'm going to express myself the best that I can. Oof.
Cynthia Lee Fontaine, 2020. Okay. So now we're going to take a moment and take some audience questions. If anyone has some burning questions for our lovely guest today.
Anyone, shady? Let me tell you this. If they invite me back again, I say yes.
Yes.
And you know, I like my Girl Scout, my Barbie pink. She's so beautiful. But I love the mother of dragons, baby. The queen of dragons. So my slang is going to be like justice for returning queens. So, you know. But yes, absolutely. I'm going to be very honest with you. I love to work with the production. World Wonder was amazingly responsible with all the girls. Even like they were very supportive when I was like experiencing cancer in my life. Mama RuPaul, it's so kind, so professional, so nice. So if they invite me for next season or upcoming season or All Stars, and then they want, like, you know, Akaika, me and Miss Vianji together, another Latina, I will do so. Yes. RuPaul Drag Race, it was a great production, and I'm so proud for the past 2 years to become part of that great and amazing experience. So yes. Yes.
Hablamos español.
I think we talk like all the maybe probably the questions that you guys
have. Well, I have a question. So, you know, there's a lot of these spin-off shows. A lot of them are on WOW Presents on YouTube. But then, like, Trixie and Katya got a show. And then you see all these drag queens putting out movies. Do you have any special projects in the works or ideas for maybe a series?
Well, I used to have on season 8... My Cuckoo Confessions and My Memoirs of My Cuckoo,
yes.
You know, show on YouTube, everything about the cuckoo. And I'm working on a new one. The name is House Keeping of Austin, Texas. And it's going to be me more on a personal level in drag, going shopping and going to Walmart. I mean, insanity. So I'm coming with that in a couple of months. And also I'm working on my bilingual music album.
Yeah.
It's going to be Spanish. It's going to be English. I mean, so I'm excited. I'm more traveling.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are you going next?
Tomorrow I'm going to Sacramento, and then I'm going to be on Long Beach Pride this week. So it's going to be nice. Yes. And then, like, we have this Friday in Mickey's. We have like a Latin invasion. If you want to go, it's yeah. Elinasia, Jessica Wilde, Yara Sofia, and me. So it's going to be insane, crazy, loco.
Nice. We have a question.
I was there. Last year, I went with Local Queens production. We did the boat on the lake. Oh, my God. It was so nice. Yes. But I would like to come back to Portland because Portland is very similar as Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. For me, it was more hipster and people. Yeah.
Hipster than Austin?
Yes.
Yes, oh, wow.
Yes. Yes. Austin is more cowboy, hipster, yeah. Greedy, you know what I mean? But I like the energy. Portland, Oregon have a special, you know, part in my heart. So, yes, definitely, I would like to come back. Casita Boricua, the food truck, of course.
Today's episode.
Hello.
Sponsored by
Casita Boricua. Oh, I like that. Yeah, okay. In Mexican place, Los Comales. That's in Chicón Street. Is really good.
Las cazuelas
are really, well. It's kind of similar to Las Cazuelas, but for Las Cazuelas, I like the tacos. From Los Comales, I like the enchiladas. Las enchiladas de pollo, re bueno.
So I have a personal question about something that I observed in Austin. Why do people like to eat outside with their dogs there?
I think Austin offer that environment that you can interact with the outdoors and nature. Yeah. And it's a great weather. Well, not right now. but at the same time, the city, even like the government, encourage everybody to go and get your pets, go around. We are the third city in America that provides the best food trucks ever. Mm-hmm. And you have sushi, you have gyros, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's why. And even like you can walk on the street and people is like, hey, how are you? Have a great day. You know, it's very friendly, the environment. And the food is amazing. So that's why.
And I know that the music scene in Austin, we're going to stay on Austin. The music scene in Austin.
Oh, yes.
Do you participate? Do you go to concerts? Do you go to any shows out there? Or are you too busy?
Yes, actually. Well, I'm traveling right now like crazy. But when I have the opportunity, I go to the original like bar that Janis Joplin used to perform, Antoine's, that it had that magic. Oh, my God. You go over there, it's live band, live music. It's so beautiful. Right now, well, the music industry changed a little bit. That's maybe probably another topic of conversation. But Austin still have that magic of, you know, it's a music, like city music, you know. And we have a couple of like festivals, ACL. Mm-hmm. We have South by Southwest that is incredible. It's like media, acting, movies, music. So Austin still feels like the capital of music in America.
Okay, nobody has questions. I have a personal one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for it.
I love it.
So are you dating? And if so, how do you manage to date when you're on the road for so long?
Well, mommy, can you stand on your feet, say her, make some noise?
Yay.
She's my partner. Surprise, I date Chalupa's woman. Ha, ha, ha. Wow. I love you, mama. I know I'm going to get a prize tonight. Ah! She's going to kill me for this. You have to adaptate yourself, you know, my public, you know, life, and also be a reality TV star, and especially like a drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, like we said before, you have to educate the fan base, especially the new generation of fans. Like, there's so limits or boundaries. I sometimes receive, like, you know, cuero pictures, a naked picture. I'm like, no, I'm not into that, you know, because I'm very happy. And I feel that stability came from a healthier mental and emotional balance that I have right now so far. And actually, like, we opened the conversation, me and her, we got the opportunity to talk about, like, a maybe I'm gonna see you this month, the upcoming month, I'm gonna be, like, you know, traveling. But the communication is really good. We talk every day. We use social media, you know, to keep in touch. And I think that's very beneficial, and we get to know each other and maintain the relationship healthier as possible with that, you know, statement. So what do you think? Well, the thing is, like, in my case, I'm very private with my personal life. However, I'm an open book. I never, you know, said no to possibilities for maybe probably this close, you know, because I'm bisexual. So, you know, my relationship publicly is something that maybe I need to discuss with her. And she used to work in media and production back in the days. But we try to maintain and keep our, you know, relationship private, because when we involve that conception, you know, about my personal life to the public eye, you know, guys, the majority of the case, you see, like, divorce, or you see, like, breaking up on relationships, and I don't want that. She's here. She's supporting me as a reality TV star, as an entertainer. But at the same time, we want to maintain that side of Cynthia Carlos more private.
That is
so
your
we don't
own.
Contaminate that with the publicity. However, if I can do some interviews like today and explain, you know, my relationship, I will be more than happy to that, because we agree, you know, to publicly express how is our relationship right now so far. So,
do you guys travel together at all the gigs or no?
No. I mean, like I said, I try to separate my personal life from my, you know, professional, you know, character. And I do believe some relationships, you know, there's some successful relationships like working together. Pero I don't want this Ike and Tina Turner situation. You know what I mean? No, baby. No, keep it rolling, you know? So I think, like, I want to maintain, separate my personal life through my professional life.
Yeah. That's very important. And it's sanity, no? Like, it's just... Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny. Because, I mean, like, everybody she thinks laughs. Like she Hispanic descendant, but no. She got another, you know? And she lives in California, for example. And you see all the signs on the street. There's a lot of Hispanic, you know, influence here. And, I mean... like the way that she pronounced sometimes some of the, you know, La Cienega, Santiano. And I'm like, what are your, oh, Santa Ana, La Cienega, you know, Figueroa. Like, that's Figueroa, girl. But, you know, I understand, like we have those, like, clash of cultural, you know, competency moments that we got the opportunity to laugh. Because the difference of cultural, you know, cultural difference are very nice and spicy at the same time, because I love the way, like, you know, she pronounced. But now she adaptates a lot. She lives in California, and now there's a lot of immigration of Puerto Ricans, so she knows about the food, and she knows a little bit about the drinks, you know. So that's very kind of interesting dynamic that we have right now so far. But... at the same time, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, you know, because still she understands a lot of the Hispanic, you know, history and culture, but there's a lot to learn from both sides. So
thank you so much for sharing, Cynthia. We are running out of time. So I just want to thank you, Latinos Who Lunch, and everybody here. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys. Thank you.
So lovely to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I think this is the last panel. And congratulations.
You made it.
All the entire weekend for DragCon LA 2018. Make some noise. Yes.
So before we go, where can we find you on social media? How can we follow you?
Yes, Cynthia Lee Fontaine everywhere. And if you go to Snapchat, it's _ Lee Fontaine. And I keep you updated with the upcoming, you know, contracts and performances and presentations as well. So you're more than welcome to follow me and follow this crazy cuckoo.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so very much.